Welcome into another edition of the Varsity Podcast. Justin Barney, Sponge Franklin, and we are in the playoffs, man. Week 12, Sponge playoff brackets came out this week, and I don't think there were a ton of surprises, but we'll get to the brackets fully in a minute. But any team that you thought was going to make it that didn't make it, and vice versa?
No, I mean, we all knew going in the whole Creekside deal, you know, what it was going to take. We knew they needed to win Friday. They did. You know, the whole deal with Nice winning the week before. So it's kind of like that hole was the monkey wrench. Like, were they going to get squeezed out? Was Pace out from the panhandle going to get in? They were 8-2 after they won their game Friday night, and the bracket came out and Creekside got in. So
yeah, Creekside jumped all the way up to 5, and I thought that was a possibility with Navarre losing, but Navarre was a district champ, so they were already guaranteed in. I thought they would go up. To me, there were two surprises to me, actually almost three. I thought Creekside going to 5 was a little bit of a surprise. I thought they were going to be locked into that number 6 spot, but that win over Pontevedra, it did the same thing for Nice a week prior, took Nice up from 11th all the way to 8th or 7th in the rankings, so that was huge. And Pace, in a sense, you know, they beat a 6-win team,
right.
Lafayette,
yep.
But that was a 1R team,
yeah.
And Creekside beat a 4S team, so you're talking about a more quality of competition there, but Creekside, pretty darn good scenario because you go to 5 and then you just got to go across town for a playoff game.
Exactly. You don't have to travel. You don't have to go out to the panhandle, kind of like Bartram's got to go out there. So it just kind of worked out for in the benefit of them that they not only got in the playoffs, but now they don't even really have to travel. So, you know, it's good for them. And what's crazy is, you know, a rematch from literally the Friday before.
I know. So crazy. I've seen that happen one time before. St. Augustine and Ridgeview played in week 11 and then played in the first round of the playoffs. Back in maybe 03, 04, 05 range. So, yeah, I thought that Creekside was one surprise. I thought another surprise to me was University Christian. You know, they've been just up and down all over the place this year, and they lost to Bishop Kinney, but they finished 4th in the region, but barely ahead of Foundation Academy out of Winter Garden. So 7/100ths of a point separated those two. So you see dangerously close to missing out on it entirely.
Yeah, definitely. We knew When they lost to Providence early in the season, that was going to put them behind the eight ball because then they still had to play Trinity. They end up losing both of those games. So now you're like, okay, what does our schedule look like going out? They had a tough game against Clearwater Academy and got blazed. Then they, you know, played Bishop Kinney. I mean, I guess at least those were two good quality opponents and your good losses, I guess you would say. But, you know, to just sneak in there is good. But, you know, then, you know, you're rewarded by having to go play Trinity at Trinity next week. So, that's, like I say, at least you're in the playoffs and you're in the dance. Hey, you beat them last year. See what can happen. You know, you get a week off, kind of, you know, get some things right, and, you know, let's go play a playoff game.
Yeah, that's right. And the other thing that surprised me a little bit was Riverside actually going up from 3-2 in Region 1-2M in the final rankings. Riverside finished 8-2. They jumped ahead of Orlando Bishop Moore by 10/100ths of a point, so that was interesting to me to see them kind of, even though they played Rebalton in week 11, not really a huge points gainer there, but so those are the three kind of surprising things that to me that stood up about the initial release. We'll get to more playoff talk in a minute, but week 11 games, Sponge, we won't go entirely through this like we normally do, but some games last week I want to touch on, probably the biggest one, Creekside, Pontevedra.
Yeah.
You know, Creekside, I remember before the game of the week against Fleming Island about a month ago, I went out to Creekside and talked to Sean McIntyre, and he said he felt pretty confident. You know, at that point, they were out of that playoff mix, but he felt pretty confident that if they closed the season with 3 wins, that was over Fleming Island, Atlantic Coast, and then Pontevedra, that they would just almost assuredly make the playoffs. And you could see that because that would be three, not necessarily the Fleming Island, but two of those three teams in the playoff hunt. But they needed to win in week 11. I mean, you're really in a danger zone where you've got to play perfect football. You've got to win those games. There's no play. Basically, your playoff season started early if you're Creekside.
That's exactly what it was.
And you go on, you know, you go in week 11 and you beat Pontevedra at home. And, you know, Pontevedra is one of our best teams all season long.
Yeah.
And you needed to win and you did that.
Yeah, no, Creekside, they've been kind of that Jekyll and Hyde team all season. You know, we've liked them early in the year. You know, they had a little bit of a tough schedule early, and they played good ball, but they kind of lost a few shootout games. They had the big upset, obviously, when Mandarin was hot, you know, which was kind of put them on the radar. Like, okay, this team, you know, they put something together here and won a big game like this. So, you know, then, you know, they had a little bit of a fall off, so then it was like, all right, well, now, like Coach McIntyre said, we're literally already in the playoffs. We got to treat these last three games like it's win or go home, you know, and let's see what happens. Let the chips fall where they may. You know, let's control our own destiny and win these games. And that's exactly what they went out and did. And,
right.
You know, they've been good offensively. You know, defensively, they're picking up stride on, you know, making stops and stuff. But offensively, you know, with Garrido running the ball, I mean, it's crazy to think that, like, Nicky Williams has been out the whole season.
Yeah.
And he was, like, their bell cow
right.
last year, you know. So
they haven't missed a beat.
They found it back. You know, Ashenfelder's been pretty good at quarterback. But all in all, like I say, when you come down to it and it's, like, win or go home mentality, you know, the boys bought in. And, like I say, here we go. They got in the playoffs, and now you get a team who you just beat. So you got to feel confident. But, it's one of those things of, like, man, all right, Pontevedra realized, okay, we dodged a bullet. We lost that game, but we get our – second chance redemption shot, you know, at home this time, you know, this next week, so like, or this Friday night, so it should be a heck of a ball game again, because the first round was pretty good
yep.
in itself Friday night. So
yeah, it was great. That was crazy how it shook down. So I thought Creekside was going to make the playoffs after that win over Pontevedra Friday night. Simply put, what it did for Nice to beat Pontevedra was jumped them three spots in the
right.
rankings.
Yeah.
Substantial gain. And add to the fact that Creekside already played a pretty darn good schedule to get there. So even at 5-4 going into week 11, you're doing pretty solid in the rankings. You're seventh in the rankings. But due to Mosley and Nice, which beat Tocoi Creek last Friday night to get into the district, to win the district championship, Creekside needed to get into that number six spot. So the little fortuitous stuff ahead of them. Navarre, which was already in the playoffs via district championship, lost to Niceville, number two Niceville. So that bumped them behind Creekside. But again, you're a district champ, so you're already going to the playoffs. So Creekside actually vaulted up to number five, and in the process squeezed out a Pensacola Pace team, a team that went 8-2. And we'll talk about that scenario in a minute. But just crazy. You had to play perfect for Creekside. You did that, and you won 26-21 over Pontevedra in Week 11 to get into the postseason. So great win for them. Bartram Trail 24, Mandarin 14. I think Bartram, the win almost penalized Bartram
for what
was going to happen and hurt Mandarin too in the process.
Yeah, for sure. Like, what would have been the scenario if Mandarin would have beat them? Where would they have fallen in the seed line? Would they have got a home game still, or like a?
So Bartram would have gone from 4-5, so they would have gotten a Pontevedra type.
Okay,
of
so they would have been on the road,
right.
But it would have been town. Instead, they get the win. It bumps them to the three spot, but then they got to go out to
right.
the district champ in Navarre.
So not bad in a sense, because again, you like to be a high seed, but in this situation, it really kind of backfired on them. You know, had you lost to Mandarin, you would have possibly slipped down and had that home playoff game. So a little disappointing. Buchholz was one in that region, Niceville
yeah.
too. So I thought Bartram could have gone up to two with the win, but it had Niceville lost to Navarre, but that would have been great for Bartram because you've
right.
been traveling across town for a playoff game at Nice. But instead, Bartram goes from 4-3, and you have to go to Navarre
five-hour ride.
Probably
a
$20,000 road trip for Bartram, so packing up the buses and heading out there. So that's a disappointing from that standard. You know, if you're Pontevedra, perfect scenario happened. You still get to host Creekside, even though you lost in that game in Week 11. So that's pretty cool. Unfortunate for Pace, they get squeezed out.
Yeah, so where would Mandarin have, if they would have won that game, what seed line would they have probably been at?
Mandarin would have.
Does that bump them down to, what, the four?
Mandarin is the fifth seed right now. And I think they were in fourth last week. So you'd have probably gone up to number three if you're Mandarin, no higher than a three. And that would have put you in a home game in that situation. And it just did not work out. I know the Mandarin people are not happy to having to be go on the road for that game. You win your district and you go into an undefeated
yeah.
team in Winter Park. Not ideal, but you know, had you been the number three seed, you would have hosted Orlando Evans.
Yeah.
So that would have been a little bit better for Mandarin to have won that game and not fallen in those region rankings. A couple others from last week. Beachside beats Providence.
Yeah.
9-1 season for Beachside. Great to finish 9-1.
Yeah.
But you're independent.
You know,
you're playing for nothing.
Yeah, exactly, man. That sucks. You can't go to a playoffs. You know, we talked about it last week. You know, who was going to win this game? I think we both felt Providence is still a little bit a year away. Beachside had played pretty solid all year, but they really hadn't played anybody because they're independent.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, they need to go ahead and get in a district and try to compete against
some big
boys and try to go to the playoffs because, I mean, they put it on them, you know. But, like I say, you're 9-1.
Right.
Pack your stuff up and let's, you know, we'll see you next year.
Yeah, you know? So, you know, usually you see teams get into district and their second year of play. I've never seen a public school in our area stay independent for two seasons. So that is interesting. A couple others from last week, Nice 47, Tocoid Creek 27. Nice wins the district championship. They look good, man. Yep. Maddox Spencer.
Handle business.
And Bryce Frick, those guys are good. The running game was clicking last week. I think six rushing touchdowns.
It's reminiscent of the Stokes-Dom Henry connection. They're lighting it up. Yes. You know, those. It's like, you know, you knew Stokes was throwing it to Dom Henry, and you know this connection is like, it's like magic. They're just all over it, killing it. Like I say, I think what is Spencer up to? 1,400 yards receiving? It's like crazy.
Yeah, he had a great game, and I was out there for that a little bit of that game, the second half, and they just, man, they look good as usual. But, man, the running game was just on fire last week. You know, Bryce Frick, the quarterback, fantastic. Cam Smith, the running back for Nice, he and K.J. Perry were just
like a running back by committee, man.
Absolutely tearing it up. Cam Smith, 5 rushing touchdowns in that game last week. K.J. Perry, a rushing touchdown. And just Maddox Spencer, Bryce Frick, those guys have been getting it done. And I like Nice's chances in the playoffs. There's something special about this team. Reminds me of a little bit of that connection that the Nice team from a couple years ago had when they reached the regional final. So great job for Colin Drafts and company to finish strong. Again, a situation like Creekside, we needed to be perfect down the stretch, and you were just that. Nice 7-3. So great season for all those teams. Before we look to playoffs and Super 10, Sponge, who are your – if you had to pick a team of the year and you had to pick the disappointments of the year, who would those be? Maybe the best team and then the most disappointing.
I mean, if you're going to go as far as disappointing, you know, I guess there wasn't much like the bad teams, like, you know, we talk about Sandalwood going 0-10. Is it disappointing because they didn't have much expectation, you know, so it's not that, in a sense, disappointing. So I wouldn't necessarily categorize them as, like, they didn't have the expectation of we thought they were going to be somewhere and they're not. So I think that disappointing teams on the play, maybe like your private school guys, mm-hmm. like they just they might have all had good years so far, like a Bowles and a Trinity and a UC, but it's not up to the standard that all those schools want to be at. So, and where are they going to do in this playoff? What are they going to do? You know, that's a big question, like for all four of those. Like, I'll throw BK in there too. So, you know, obviously BK and Bowles play each other, and UC and Trinity play each other. But if you look at it like, you know, who's going to make a run, who's not, where they were last year versus this year, I think that's been a little disappointing in the eyes. And can one of those guys make a run?
Yeah.
As far as, like, surprises, I mean, we kind of thought St. Augustine was on the verge of maybe, you know, breaking out and doing mm-hmm. something special. You know, we're on them a year early, you know, so they're already a year ahead of schedule because, I mean, they've been – you know, they came out, we were like, all right, there might be fourth or fifth best team, and they've been phenomenal all
right.
year. So, like, I don't know if they'd necessarily be a surprise. I mean, Mandarin had that, you know, the moniker of they were the team. They had all the studs, the five stars, the big name guys, the big commits. And they've been good, but they've been a little disappointing too. And, like, you bow out in the first round here, and that's going to be major disappointment
right.
with the talent level they got. So they got kind of the bullseye on their back, and they need to take it up a notch. But I guess, you know, Reigns and Riverside, they're kind of two surprise teams. I mean, Reigns is always good. Riverside was kind of like we kind of didn't see where they were coming
right.
from. So I want to see where those two teams head in this postseason. So I guess that would be my surprises and my, you know, disappointments, I guess I would say.
Yeah, I get what you're – I totally get with the UC and Bowles for sure from a record perspective. I mean, Bowles got absolutely filleted in Week 11 by Berkeley Prep, 42-7. Clocked in that game. That's unreal for Bowles. I mean, but they've been all over the place this year. You know, the uneven regular season, they had one last year. Bowles still makes state semifinals. So I don't know if they can do that this year. I think it'd be a great coaching effort if those guys, this team, this Bowles team gets to the state semifinals. So I think surprise teams for me have probably been Nice. You come from nowhere. You play like possessed down the stretch and get into the playoffs. Even a game like St. Augustine, they lost 49-30, they were in that game. So I think that's a surprise team for me. Bradford, St. Augustine, I expected big things from them.
Yeah.
Riverside, not so much. You know, they squeezed into the playoffs in the 8 seed last year. They've turned it on, man. I've been really impressed with Riverside. I'm kind of like you with Reigns. We expect Reigns to be good every year. They're good every year. But I'm surprised with Riverside a little bit, exceptionally surprised with Nice. And very surprised with, again, the Bowles,
yeah.
the UC. I mean, UC's going to probably lose week one against Trinity.
Yeah.
And then you're ending season on a 3-game losing streak, and you finish 5-6. Disappointing year there. And then for a public school team, it's got to be a Sandalwood. I mean, yeah. I don't even know.
Yeah.
When the last time Sandalwood.
That's definitely disappointing. Like I say, I would definitely agree that they have a major disappointment not winning a game. You know, I guess, like I say, the thing I'll harp back on is, like, you know, what kind of expectation do we think Sandalwood was going to be this year?
And then Fleming and Oakleaf, too.
Yeah, Fleming and Oakleaf both, you know, they kind of started off like they might do something. You know I've piled on Trinity a little bit just because I expect more from them, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, but when it's all said and done, you look at it, okay, they went 7-3. Who'd they lose to? They lost to a team, American Heritage, who's got one loss, to Chaminade Madonna, who's the best team in the state. They lost a, you know, 5-turnover game against Bowles, you know, where they were right there at the end. And then they lost a 2-point ball game, you know, where they let Riverside go down the field and score with, like, you know, under a minute to go. So, you know, a couple balls bounce the other way. They're 9-1, and we're like, oh, it's a different story. But I still have the same expectations where I think they are. I think they win the first round, and then can they go beat an Orlando Christian Prep team that they kind of
struggle with them
exactly.
Before.
You know, you had to put Treyon Webb on your back to, you know, win that game. So, and then, you know, looking way far ahead after that, we talked about Chaminade, but looking at Clearwater, Central Catholic is probably the team that's going to be standing in the way to get to the state championship, and they're 10-0.
Right.
And they just beat, or one of the teams they beat in their 10-0 regular season was a Berkeley Prep, who just beat the dog out of Bowles.
Right, so, yeah.
Like I say, you know, you do that whole song and dance of who played who, this, that, and the other. That's all you can kind of go on. So, you know, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy at all. So, everybody's 0-0 now. So, you know, whatever happened last week, get it out of your system. You know, if you're on a high and you're running good, you know, like a Creekside or like a Nice, take that momentum and run with it. So, like, this is the fun part of the year where, like I say, it's win or go home. So it's playoffs. So it's, you know, it's big time ball.
So. Yeah. So before we jump into playoff talk fully, our last rankings of basically the regular season of Super 10, week 12 of our Super 10 rankings, I'll start for Sponge. I got Ponte Vedra at 10, Nice 9, Creekside 8, Trinity 7, Riverside 6, Mandarin 5, Bartram 4, Range 3. No change. Bradford, St. Aug 2-1 for me.
We got the exact same rankings up. I've got Bartram at 3. And so basically, St. Aug, Bradford, Bartram, Mandarin. I guess I'm disrespecting Reigns, but you know, I like what Reigns. I feel like Reigns can make a run, but Reigns at 5, Riverside 6, Trinity 7, Creekside and Nice, Ponte Vedra round out the bottom half of the ranking. So we're all the same from 6 down.
Yep.
But like I say, Reigns. You know, like again, if you how we talk about rankings, if Reigns was playing Mandarin or Bartram, who would you pick Friday night? And, I mean, I think they would all be heck of a ball game, but I'd probably go with the other teams right now just because of scheduling and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you're
talking – we've gotten into it a lot, but, yeah.
And I get it. I mean, Bartram has lost 4 games, and
yeah,
they only one of those 4 teams has a loss, Mainland. Right. You see, Mainland got filleted in week 11.
Who'd they lose to? Lake Mary.
Yeah, so unreal, unbelievable that Mainland had been just crushing teams.
Yeah.
And – didn't even get a point.
Yeah, hello, Lake Mary.
And like, that's
look out, Mandarin.
Yeah, that's. I mean, Mandarin's got to go through them.
You got to get Winter Park first, but
yeah, Lake Mary's already beaten Mandarin. So, all right, let's dive into playoff talk, Sponge. We've got teams in all 3 divisions: suburban, metro, and rural. And we're gonna go through these by region. So, Region 1-4S. That's kind of the one we had been talking about this whole time. We've got Lynn Haven, Mosley at Buholtz, Creekside at Ponte Vedra, Niceville at Nice, and Bartram at Navarre. I don't think anybody's getting past Buholtz.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody.
I would agree with that. So you're hoping that you can, if you're one of our local teams, like obviously Ponte Vedra, Creekside, one of those guys are going to win. And then you're hoping that, you know, Nice can pull out one and, you know, get a Bartram, all that can advance maybe just pass this first round. But yeah, Buholtz, I think, is the top king dog of that section, that region, that portion of the bracket, and I feel like it's Buholtz or, you know, bust, you know. But
yeah, I'm with you.
I'm hoping that, you know, obviously we can get somebody else out of there, you know, that at least can maybe compete with them. But we've already seen Buholtz play, you know, some of these teams.
Buholtz is I think we're in agreement there. I think Buholtz is the easy pick in Region 1-4S. Region 1-3S, Middleburg at St. Aug, Escambia at Pine Forest, Matanzas at Lincoln, and Columbia at Choctaw. I think this is the Yellow Jackets district to lose.
Yeah.
The number one team in 3S altogether, so that if the state semifinals were to come here, St. Aug would have home field advantage for that game. I don't think any of these other local teams. I don't think Columbia, I don't think Matanzas or Middleburg stand a chance.
None of those teams. Lincoln is the only team that could pose a little bit of a threat just because they've been playing pretty good ball this year. They're 8-2 on the season. But, you know, you got to like what everything's come together with St. Augustine. Just, you know, thinking about Lachlan Hewlett being out and Dylan Cook comes in and it's like no drop-off. Offense is scoring points. You know, they can score points. So you can get into a shootout or you can score. You know, obviously you score more points than the other team, you're going to win the ball game.
Man,
so
they look good.
I love what they have offensively.
Right.
You know, so they're going to pose a threat no matter who they're playing.
Yeah,
you know,
I like St. Aug. I love their receiving core. I like Devontae Lyons, soaking the rock. I mean, Lachlan Hewlett is, to me, he's in the conversation of the best quarterback in town.
Yeah.
I know that's we've got a lot of good ones, but I think Lachlan is.
He's playing good. He's playing at a very high level right now.
I think he is in that conversation as the best quarterback. I like Tremel Jones. He's possibly that number one guy to me, but I think Lachlan is right there behind Tremel. Those two guys lighting it up. So I like that one. I like St. Aug to reach the state semifinals. I think you like them too, Sponge. Region 1-2S, just one local team. South Walton at Walton Swanee, our local team at Pensacola Catholic. Gadsden County at Wakulla. Mariana at Florida High. I think Swanee's out in maybe round two. They could lose this week.
Yeah, Pensacola Catholic's not going to be an easy game for sure. I've seen them plenty of times, so they got their hands full in that one first and foremost.
Yep.
And then, you know, obviously, you know, Walton being way out there in Fort Walton Beach, I don't know nothing about them. Florida High is always good, so, yeah, I think it's going to be a tough road to hoe for the Swanee Bulldogs.
That is a tough one. Region 2-2S. Our second in the suburban in 2S, Atlantic at Bradford, Palatka at Gainesville Eastside, Keystone at Yulee, Baldwin at Baker. Again, I think this is almost like the St. Augustine region where I think Bradford's so far ahead of the other teams. I don't think any team here can even hang within three scores of Bradford.
No, Bradford smokes this section of the bracket. They are head and shoulders better than everybody.
And, you know, good season for Palatka. I'd like to see them get a win in the first round. They play at Eastside. I think that's a winnable game for Palatka. Yulee has been great, 8-2. I think they win that game against Keystone, and I think Baldwin is struggling.
Yeah, Baldwin's going backwards. Baker County's playing back. I think Baker and Yulee and maybe Palatka can get a win versus Eastside, but Bradford is the king of that.
Too much. Jamie Rogers at Bradford, his 100th career coaching win last week in a 35-3 win over Swanee. That's ironically where he started his head coaching career in Swanee. I think he took them even maybe to the Final Four during one of his years as head coach. Jamie's a great guy. Good to see him winning, and I think he's got, if not the best team in 2S, one of the two best teams in 2S. I know Coco is going to be right there as well. Okay, let's start in the Metro Division, Sponge. Lake Mary at Orlando Boone in Region 1-4M, Hagerty at Seminole, Evans at Apopka, and then Mandarin going on the road as the number 5 seed district champ to face Winter Park. That's a tough draw for Mandarin. I can see them going 1-done.
They could, but I think they get it done. Now, where I think it gets more difficult is having to play Lake Mary for that second time. But Winter Park, they're 9-0. You know, they're undefeated. But I looked at that, you know, I look at the Orlando, like, teams that are usually always good, and you know they kind of just like Jacksonville, there's like 3 to 5 teams that are consistently always up there. Obviously your Apopkas, mm-hmm. you know, your Stanford Seminole, you know, even and since, you know, Lake Mary's been kind of up there. So Winter Park, usually it's usually like a Winter Park or a Lake Brantley, you know, and they've kind of, Lake Brantley's kind of like completely flipped. They were like 1-9 this year. They're bad. But I looking at their schedule, I feel like Mandarin can get this win. Mandarin, I think, just kind of played down in 3 of their ball games, obviously, with the 3 losses. And so you're definitely going to have to regroup and, like, get in playoff mode and be in winner-go-home style mode because, in my opinion, you know, losing last week to where, it's like you want to go in the playoffs and you had a shot to beat a good Bartram team to feel good about going into the playoffs. Instead, now you're like, all right, wait a second. Like, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. So, you know, Tremel, Jamie French, Weish, they got to get it going on offense. And then, you know, defensively, they got to shut down Winter Park's, you know, they got a good passing game is what they throw up. They throw it a little more, they run it. But, like I say, hopefully they can get out of there.
Because
I expect them. We expected them to be making a run.
I agree.
You know, but, you know, you look at their second round opponent would be a team they played already this year, and Lake Mary kind of handled them.
Yeah,
you
big know, time. So
they definitely got to, you know, get to the drawing board and get their stuff right to get to the next game. You know, win, let's take it one at a time, you know, mentality. But it's definitely going to be a tough road for Mandarin, I think, in this play. Because these other teams are good, too. A pop, when you get past this first round, you know, yeah, you get an undefeated Winter Park team. But, yeah, oh, by the way, you still got Lake Mary. You still got a Sanford. I think Sanford Seminole is really good this year.
Yeah, Sponge, I think Mandarin is they're just in a tough spot. Region 1 for them, best case scenario, on a even on a down year, that's tough to make a regional final. But when you got a Lake Mary team standing there, a tough opener on the road, man, that is going to be tough for Mandarin to get in. I think even less chances, even though we have two teams, comes in Region 1 3M. Tough one. First Coast wins the district, your reward, 10-0 Orlando Edgewater.
Yeah.
Orlando Jones at Oviedo, Tampa Wharton at Armwood, another tough one, and then Fletcher on the road at Tampa Bay Tech. One and done for our Gateway teams here.
Yeah, I'm not feeling good about any of those matchups at all.
I'm not either.
Like that's tough sledding, and like I say, I don't like the spots of any of these games, and the matchups are not in our favor, I think, here at all for our boys from Duval.
Yeah, I think that's 3M is just not helpful. Fletcher last year got walloped by Tampa Bay Tech. First Coast last year walloped in the first round. So I think it's tough for either of those teams to still be left standing after Friday night. So great season's over. Marty Lee and the Bucks in C4 at Fletcher. Now we're getting into 2M, and this is a heavy, heavy local.
Yeah.
Region 1, 2M. Jackson at Rains, Bishop Kenny at Bowles, Episcopal Riverside White at Bishop Moore. I think we're going to have a team reach the state semifinals. Is it Rains or is it Bowles?
Yeah.
So
we get the old classic from a couple years ago.
Yeah, Rains Bowles will be a round two game. And then Riverside, I like them. We're big over Episcopal. Riverside, Bishop Moore, possibly in round two. So Rains Bowles, round two. I think we'll have a local team there. Who do you think comes out of that district as a region as a local?
That's tough. Like, you know, it's Bowles, man, has been so. You know, we talk about Jekyll and Hyde for real. Like
big time.
I'm talking about where they'll come out and be like, wow, this is Bowles. They look pretty good. DJ Moore looks great at quarterback. Naeem's a beast at receiver. Defense is getting after it, forcing turnovers. Mm-hmm. Then the next week they come and lay an egg to a winless Columbia team.
Yeah.
Or, you know, get beat on the road against, you know, a similar caliber Berkeley prep team last week. You know, so it's like, what team is this Bowles team? You know, they banged with Mandarin early in the year, you know. So it's like, what Bowles team are you going to get? And, like, to me, what scares me is their inconsistency with that. So, you know, who has been one of the most consistent teams in the area that we kind of haven't talked about a lot? Rains. Mm-hmm. They just continuously win games. Now they want some tight games. They want some close games against maybe some teams they probably shouldn't have been messing around with. That's the only thing that scares me about Rains.
Mm-hmm.
They're finding ways to win games, which is great. That's what you want to do. But when you're narrowly escaping one and two-point games,
that
scares me too. You know, so you're playing with a little bit of fire. And Riverside has been the hot team, you know, that they've been in pretty much every game. You know, so it's like who's trending upward, who's playing good. I think, you know, Ed White, for all intents and purposes, had a good season. Hopefully they can give Bishop Moore a game. Bishop Moore's kind of one of those Orlando teams. They played early against BK, and I think BK got handled in that game. I want to say, like, yeah, Bishop Moore 7-3.
Right.
You know, so I think Bishop Moore gets the win. So then you're like, okay, you know, can Riverside get to a game versus Riverside Rains, Riverside Bowles? You know, so I feel like it's going to be either Bowles or Rains is who I have my strongest feeling if I'm to bet right now. And so what it's going to boil down to is what kind of Bowles team are you going to get? So I can't predict that right now. But if we get a Bowles-Rains matchup, then I'll have to make a decision on who I think is going to win. But that's where it's at right now. I'd probably go with Bowles because they have more of a potential upside to have a big game. You know, but, you know, Rains has been really consistent and really good. So it's both of those teams are really – put it this way, it better happen because I want to see that one.
I know. I love Bowles-Rains games. Always good. Last one in the Metro, UC at Trinity and Region 1 1M Providence at OCP. I don't think there's any question on either. It's two games. UC has been just not that good on the offensive side of the ball. Trinity's figured it out. Providence has had some injuries, and they've had to start playing better teams. We've seen that what's happened when that's been the case. Trinity smashed Providence, and the Beachside beat them by 44 in Week 12. So I would be surprised if this is not Trinity OCP regional final.
Yeah, I have a feeling that that's where I'm leaning, obviously. Trinity, you know, they the first matchup, 14-0 game, you know, at UC, they probably could have had a couple touchdowns that they got taken off the board because of penalties, so you got to clean that up. Being at home will be big because, you know, TC's comfortable at home, all that good stuff. You know, slowly but surely, I think Colin had his best game last Friday night. He was 80% completion, threw for over 200-something yards, four TDs.
All-time leading passer in Trinity history, right?
There you go. That's it. So, you know, I just feel like they also let, you know, Darnell rest. You know, he only had one carry in the game. Cam almost had 100 yards. I think he had 97 and two touchdowns.
And Cam then Anderson, a linebacker,
exactly.
We should say.
He looks kind of smooth running the ball. I'm not going to lie.
He's such a good defensive player.
So, you know, he looks good running it. So that's a nice element that they've added.
That's
here
how you know when Trinity doesn't have the horses.
100%. 100%.
When you pull over your best, arguably your best defensive player, linebacker,
yeah,
and he's toting the rock for that type
of
game.
For sure. So, like, that's a huge point. You know, so I just feel like, you know, he got that week off pretty much, Darnell did, and then now he's going to have the bye this week.
Jeff Holland was playing running back a little bit,
exactly,
too?
Exactly. And that, when we put Jeff in there, that was just for him to strike out one. But, yeah, he was playing end and linebacker-ish to, you know, toting the rock for us. But we also had Jalen and everybody. Like, we had a stable to where he was just like, oh, let's just put Jeff back here because it's fun. But, yeah, I just think UC offensively, man, they've been – struggling,
yeah,
man.
It's not the same.
It's not like Oriel Gray makes so much of a difference, obviously, because you got to key in on him so much. You know, Genoa Alford's injury, I think, has really hampered him. He just hasn't had, you know, he doesn't look comfortable out there with that brace on. You know, Stuckey's kind of just, now that he doesn't have that number one really to go to, you know, they've been keying on them on the run game.
Yep.
It's just, they've been struggling big time.
Yeah, it's not been a typical UC year at all. So I think you and I are in agreement on that one as well. Trinity OCP regional final for a right to go to state semis. And that's a flip game, too, for me, because OCP has given Trinity a little bit of trouble in the past. Region 3-1R are our lone rural division. Madison County and Fort White, the number 1 and 2 seeds, both have byes. Fort White, great season, 9-1. And Coach Demetric Jackson Sr.'s return. Branford at Lafayette and Hilliard at Union County. I think Union wins that game comfortably, and I think Madison County beats Fort White for that region title. Madison County just another level.
I agree totally. I think Union County can get the win in the first round, but I think Mad Cow, you know, the Cur Dog.
Yeah, they're just too tough to pick against, plus especially playing at home at the Boot Hill for all those playoffs. Okay, so we've talked about the matchups and stuff, and I know there's a lot of anger or questions about the playoff system that we have in Florida. You know, the system in Georgia, very easy to figure out. You get four by, you know, largely you get basically your top four teams in a region get a playoff spot, right? So, pretty simple. Yep. Pretty simple. So your region's typically bigger. You have four teams, and they go, you know, where they're going in the bracket-wise. FHSA system, quite a bit more confusing, convoluted. It uses a variation of the max preps rankings points to determine playoff seeds and who gets them. Nobody knows what the criteria is. Nobody knows how this metric is, what's behind the metric. So you have a situation like in this past week where Pensacola Pace was in sixth. They win, beat Lafayette in week 11. They finish 8-2. And on Selection Sunday, they watch as Creekside jumps them. Creekside makes a playoffs 6-4. Pace misses out at 8-2. You know, Pace, I think they left the field last Friday thinking they were in the playoffs because they were in sixth place in the playoff rankings, and then to get jumped in the last week. Other situations have been have arisen like this in the past when it was a different system. Andrew Jackson lost out on going to the playoffs to an 0-9 team.
Yeah.
An 0-9 team. So, our last two playoff systems that the state has had, you've had situations like that occur. You've had situations like Sandalwood and Baker County, Oakleaf. Those guys, I remember Sandalwood missed out 1 year at 8-2. Baker County, Oakleaf missed out at 7-3. So there's just been all kinds of issues with the playoff system in Florida. This one, do you like it, Sponge? Do you like the situation we're in now, Suburban Metro, and how it's used?
Yeah, we talked about it, and I think the biggest thing, like you said before, is transparency is the big key of, like, how do we get here? Like, what is the – yes, we see it's, okay, you're using Max Prep's rankings and their formula, but, like let's lay it all out so we can see, like, is it scheduling? Do we need to have strength of schedule? Do we need to have, you know, does it matter, like, margin of victory? Does it matter, like, who's ranked here and who's ranked there? You know, all that stuff to try to just so that I guess coaches can know, like, obviously you got to schedule better. You know, we've kind of realized that, I guess, in the last several years of, like, you can't schedule cream puffs and just go 10-0. You got to actually schedule some people and get some wins. I think I do like the Metro Suburban aspect of it, just because hopefully it was going to give more teams an opportunity to play and go to a state championship. You know, but, yeah, I'd rather – get more, like, let's go to some of these other formulas of, like, teams or states like a Georgia or a Texas or something that you know, playoff football is big time, and they've got it kind of figured out. You know, so there's some other wacky states that do some crazy stuff too, but I guess for the most part it actually worked out. If your biggest complaint through the whole state of Florida is just Creekside getting in over Pace, then I guess they did okay. You know, it's just like the NCAA tournament. Somebody's bubble burst, and somebody, you know, got in when maybe they shouldn't have.
Right.
You know, so it's like, you know, don't lose two games, I guess.
Yeah,
you know,
but, and that's tough.
Yeah, I mean, I know that. Well, they're like, oh, they lost four games. You know, well, I guess the competition that Creekside played was a little bit better than what Pace did, obviously.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
that is true by the metrics. So. That is true. I wish there was a little more transparency. Like, you knew, again, I use the situation in Georgia because it's pretty black and white. I mean, you know, you know, after last regular season week where you stand, if you're playing or not. I like the element of surprise in, you know, from the FHSA, where you got those Max Prep ratings and it's algorithm based, and, you know, it gives you a more true read, strength of schedule and stuff,
right?
Than just saying wins and losses, because, you know, again, if you're playing an 8-1 beachside,
right?
And you're playing a 7-2, you know, or whatever. I mean, you're playing a 5-4 Creekside.
Right.
I mean, what's going to give you the bigger boost?
Right.
I mean, of course. I mean, so you're looking at the Max Preps there, and obviously a Creekside, you know, beating a Creekside is going to obviously weigh a little more heavily than beating a beachside. So I don't think records are created equal. We've had this conversation before. At bowls at 0-3. Would have been lights out better than an oak leaf that was 2-0. You know? So
yeah.
I do think strength of scheduling matters, and I know some coaches and teams will say, hey, we can't predict what teams are going to have a good year. You're penalized by having a weak district. But you do control your out-of-district schedule.
Yeah.
So you can go play a perennial power.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, people can say that, but, again, kind of like how I said, that whole Orlando area, you know, you kind of know the 5-10 dogs in the area. You know who's good in Tampa. You know who's good in South Florida. You know who's good up here in Jacksonville. You know who's good in the Tallahassee and in the Pensacola region. Yes, sure, you can kind of read the tea leaves on somebody maybe flipping where they're not as good or they kind of have fallen off a little bit. You know, that happens all the time. But usually the teams who are up there in all of the areas are the most consistent teams year in, year out.
Every year.
There might be a year where they have a down year here and there. But for the most part, That's what's crazy when it all boils down to it every year in the playoffs. When you get down to that, like, Sweet 16-ish where you got, like, you know, in all classifications, it's the same teams every year.
Yes.
You know, and see, you'll get a wrinkle in there where you'll get, like, a Pontevedra, you know, in the state championship or making a deep run. But that's very few far in between. It is usually always the same boys.
Right.
You know, and like I say, that's why – so if you want to schedule, go schedule one of those guys. But the problem is those coaches don't want to go schedule those teams because they know it's going to be a loss.
Right.
You know, but I mean, so don't schedule the big boy, but go schedule, you know, just schedule up.
Right.
You know, so you're playing a little bit of a mid-powerhouse type team who's kind of like, you know, known or name brand basically. But it's usually the same teams year in and year out. You can almost, like, if we went down and looked at it, we could probably pick – who's going to be in the Final Four in each region.
Fourth season, yeah.
We'll probably be 75% correct.
So Pace, their argument was, hey, we had an 8-2 record. Well, you look at schedule, strength of schedule, Pace had the lowest among anybody in the top 15 in Region 1-4S. And then you'd have to go all the way down to Cantonment Tate, which finished 5-5. And they were, I mean, that's the only person in Region 1-4S that Pace had a stronger strength of schedule than. And, you know, Tate was not a good team. It was way down there. I mean, below Fleming Island, below Oak Leaf, I mean, below a lot of these teams. So Pace had the second worst strength of schedule in the entire Region 1-4S. So, yeah. Again, yes, you're penciled into your district teams. Yes, you can. You can't do anything about that. You can't do anything about who the FHSA aligned you with district-wise. Okay, so you're slugged in, locked in to, let's say, four teams in your district that you've got to play.
Yep.
Okay, that's fine. There's no argument there. But go out and get a go out and get some guys on your schedule. Okay, Pace had
who's their district?
Navarre, Gulf Breeze, Tate, and Milton. Okay, so you know you're locked into. Four teams.
Yeah,
you know,
Navarre is usually pretty good.
Navarre won the district.
They were 7-3.
Yep, Navarre won the district. But again, you know, yeah, you have Lincoln on your schedule. That's good. So go out and get the Lincoln type of teams.
Yeah, I guess I'm looking at it too. Choctaw went 8-2 on the year. That's Choctaw and Lincoln both went 8-2. That's their two best teams. Well, they won one and lost one. Then they played a 4-5 West Florida, a 4-6 Crestview, a 3-7 Gulf Breeze, a 0-10 Pensacola. A 5-5 Tate, then they played a good Navarre team in their district and lost that one. They're a 7-3 team. Then they played Milton, who went 3-7, and they played Lafayette, who went 6-4.
So you're not playing, and again, I'm sure some of those are regional rivalries and
So
that's understandable. But in this new playoff system, and I remember having this conversation with Adam Geis at Sandalwood back in like 2015. Okay, the Gateway locks you into a certain amount of games each year, and that's. You know, if you're not playing in the Gateway, if you say, hey, I don't want to play Gateway games, well, the Gateway's not going to pick up the tab for a lot of stuff you do, you know, officials and lights and all that stuff.
Yeah,
so you're locked into games, Gateway games. You're locked into district games. So I remember talking to guys about this. Say, hey, you're locked into 6 or 7 Gateway teams in this new RPI formula. What are you going to do? If you're locked into these games and then you're, you know, let's say you're going 7-3 and missing the playoffs. What are you going to do? I mean, is it you've got to have a come to Jesus talk and say, "Hey, our program is suffering because of these issues." And you know, while that has not necessarily come to pass for Sandalwood's situation, that could be looked at as by any. You know, if St. Augustine had to go out and play, you know, lightweights, and you know, you got to play St. Joseph or Florida Deaf or whoever it is, and then you're complaining at the end of the year. You know, something's got to be done if you are forced to play these games. But I don't think Pace is forced to play anything other than district games and maybe a couple rivalry games. So, again, that's – let's say you've got 4 district games and 2 rivalry games you want to keep. That's 6 games right there.
Yeah.
You got 4 other weeks to get out and play the Tallahassee Lincolns of the world.
And that's tough. Like I say, especially, you know, if it's on your dime and, you know, like that – but that's what we always said was Gateway was kind of lumped into this thing where it's like, you're forcing everybody to play each other, and some of the teams aren't up to snuff.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like you're like, I need to build this resume, make it a little better. You know, play the teams in the area, but also need to. The time has changed to where now you kind of got to schedule some of these out of town style games. It's kind of like you know college football. How it used to be, you play your conference schedule, and then you know you play a couple cream puffs, and then. You know, the big thing was several years ago where they, you know, had that huge non-conference game or something, you know. So, like, it's in a sense the same thing for high school guys. You know, you need to go schedule a Tallahassee Lincoln, a Tallahassee Godbey, one of the Orlando teams, like a Lake Mary, all that. But just flipping on the same thing we're talking about is looking at Creekside schedule. They played an 8-2 Palm Beach. Then they played a 7-3 Nice, a 5-5 team out of Georgia who's going to the playoffs. A 10-0 Buholtz,
right.
Who is like one of the top teams in the state. 7-3 Mandarin, you know, 5 or Oak Leaf 3-6. Bartram is 6-4, but they're also considered like a good 6-4 team because of who they played. And then they're the two teams that they played, they were kind of underwhelming. Fleming 3-7, Atlantic Coast at 4-6, and then they played a 7-3 Ponte Vedra team.
Yeah, so I mean,
out of their 10, they played 6 really good teams.
Yeah, and so you know, yes, some of those are district games, but. You know, Buholtz district game, but Nice is not.
Right.
Palm Beach Central is not.
Nope.
Richmond Hill is not.
Exactly.
You know, those are games. That's, those are –
exactly.
Mandarin is not.
Exactly. Think about it. They scheduled a team from Palm Beach County.
Yep.
They scheduled a team in Georgia, and they scheduled, you know, Nice was, you know, a rival.
But yeah, like, and Mandarin.
And, yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, that's those are four quality games.
Exactly. And Mandarin is considered one of their best gateway Duval County public school teams. And, you know, so obviously we're going to be pro our area, but sorry, Pensacola Pace.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's just how it works out. And, you know, Creekside's strength of schedule, however, you know, Max Preps determines it, Creekside is 8.66, Pace 2.32. And when you look, you're looking at that number's arbitrary, you're like, what does that number mean? Well, the higher the number obviously means the better team. And Pace had the second lowest strength of schedule of every team in the region. You know, we're talking lower than Fleming Island and Creekside. And the only team that had a worse strength of schedule was Tate, another Panhandle team. So in that entire region, Pace had the second worst strength of schedule. And, you know, unfortunate for them because you want to see kids succeed and have the success and stuff. But I think, you know, apples to apples, Creekside schedule blew them out of the water.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you can go 8-2 and miss the playoffs if your schedule's not that tough. And you know, I feel for Pace.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
this is not the hill to die on.
No, for sure. And this is you could flip it, too, and be like, all right, if Creekside flips and plays that schedule, do they go 8-2? And what is, you know – what does Pace do on Creekside schedule? Do they go 6-4? Do they go 5-5? Do they go 7-3? You know, and so what it really boiled down to was it came down to winning that district, and that's just something they didn't get done.
Yep.
And that's, like I said, that's tough, but it is what it is in that situation. You know, so it's bad for Pace, good for Creekside, and like I say, this is going to happen again if this is the formulas
right.
that we're going to have. There's going to be teams that, you know, get left out or had a good season and kind of got snubbed or whatever the case may be. I mean, I remember when we talked about coin flips, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, like, how can you lose
Jackson was 4-5.
How do you lose out on going to the playoffs because of a coin flip?
Yeah, Jackson was 4-5. It was celebrating, like, it was partying like it was 1999, won its last game of the regular season to wrap up a playoff spot. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, by the way, we made a computing error.
Yeah.
And we got to have a coin flip. And 0-9, I think Gadsden County team got in the playoffs over Jackson. Talk about heartbreaking.
Yeah, that's brutal, man.
Yeah, that's just crazy. So we've seen some all kinds of crazy scenarios. The Pace Creekside debate is just the latest one. But I think if I'm making a recommendation for playoff situation, I think if you're going to keep district championships – and give a, you know, what's the reward for winning a district?
Right.
It's nothing, you know, basically.
Right.
So yeah, that's I guess in the Mosley and Nice situation, you could argue yes, championship got us into the playoffs when we wouldn't have gone. Same with First Coast, but you know, I think if you're going to hold on district championships, I don't think a one seed who's not a district champion should be playing in an 8-seed district champ like we saw last year with Mandarin. I don't think a Mandarin who's a district champ should be on the road first round and playing a team that's 9-0. So I think if you're going to keep district championships, you've got to at least give some kind of reward other than just making the playoffs. And I would vote for a little bit more transparency in the process, you know, in a situation. I look at Georgia because it's our closest neighbor.
Yeah.
They seem to have far less drama and everything and from the high school perspective. Very, very engaging and stuff with the members and the media. FHSA is not like that. Still almost in a period of transition.
When are they going to, you know, I know they do it like every couple of years, revisit changes and stuff.
Their board of directors are meeting this week in Gainesville about a new classification issues. So I do think the playoff will be scrutinized again. I don't know if Suburban Metro will be here long term. So it just seems like the last 7 or 8 years has been so much turmoil with Florida high school football and playoffs and everything.
I agree. So, like, do you like the Suburban Metro?
Yeah, I do in a sense. I think the coaches who created it thought it would give, you know, the Creeksides and the Bartrams of the world more opportunities. But we saw last year, the first year in, you know, 20 years that we didn't have a team make the state championship game.
Right.
So I don't know if it actually did the opposite of this. So, you know, I told somebody yesterday, I was many ways to skin a cat in a saying. I'm sorry for you PETA folks out there, but the end result is a dead cat either way.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, yeah, you've wanted to create a new system to give the haves less opportunity and the nots more opportunity. But again, we're still seeing the haves with all that opportunity and the have-nots still kind of trying to elbow in for the place at the table. But another conversation that'll just be had over the next part of time. So that is our look at, man, an exciting week of football, Sponge.
Yeah, I'm ready for
some I'm pumped, man.
I'm looking forward to these. I'm hoping that, you know, we can get some guys, you know, into the second round, man, so we can keep on talking about them and, you know, hopefully somebody can make a run.
It is here. It is now. And Sponge Franklin and I will be coming to you again next week and recapping a wild blockbuster week one of the postseason. Hey, thanks for listening to us all year. I hope you'll continue to do it throughout the postseason. For Sponge Franklin, Justin Barney, thanks for joining us for another edition of the Varsity Podcast.